Good morning, and I know that unfortunately we are going through difficult times. We had the Meron tragedy, and now we have, ironically, on Yom Yerushalayim itself, missiles, and some people had to go to bomb shelters and the like. And I hope that Bezrat Hashem, all of you are safe, and the Shomer Yisrael, who protected us and continues to protect us, should get us through this as well. And Be'ezrat Hashem, there should be no casualties, and there should be the city of peace, Yerushalayim. There should be shalom. Again, in some ways, it reminds me a little bit of the Gemara in Megillah, when Haman was looking for a day to destroy the Jewish people. He thought that the month of Adar was a good month to attack the Jews, because that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. But his mistake was that that was also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So I don't know if the our Palestinian friends had some cheshbon to pick the 28th of Iyar, but mitzad our mazel, Baruch Hashem, that is a very auspicious day, a very, very good day. And Be'ezras Hashem, the enemy should not be able to do anything that will be destructive. So again, I hope that all of you are safe, and your families will be safe and healthy as well. We are continuing our discussion of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And if you remember, the past week or so, we've been developing two different opinions. And now I'm going to mention a third opinion that I had mentioned in passing, but did not explain. The two basic opinions that we've been looking at is, number one, the opinion of Tosfos that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is only a rabbinic requirement. And the reason for that being that the Torah links the counting of the Omer to the bringing of the Korban HaOmer. And since when there's no Beit HaMikdash, you do not bring the Korban HaOmer, so the Sfira itself is only a midrabanan, and indeed it is described as being zecher lemikdash, that we try to remember what was done when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore svira is derabanan. And even though we make the bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, that God commanded us to count the Omer, but again, that's not a kasha, because obviously we make that same bracha for many, many mitzvot that are drabanan for sure, like Ner Chanukah, like Megillah. These are drabanans, these are not doraisas. But as the Rambam explains, if the Torah commands me to listen to the enactments of the Chachamim, so in effect it becomes God's commandment as well. That is the Shita of Tosfos. And most Rishonim Paskin, like Tosfos the Shita. But then we have the Shita of the Rambam, who disconnects the counting of the Omer from the bringing of the Omer. And it is the Shita of the Rambam that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, is a Torah requirement. Last week, without repeating the whole shir last week, I shared with you the Hesber of Rav Chaim, that the reason why the Rambam holds that the counting of the Omer is the Araisa is not because he disconnects the Korban and the counting, but because the Rambam's own opinion is that Bizman Hazeh, you could bring Korbanos, because the holiness of the Mikdash did not lapse. So he also agrees that you have to connect the counting of the Omer to the bringing of the Omer, but the Rambam maintains that it's possible to bring the Omer even Bizman Hazeh, because the Kedushas HaMikdash is not batal. Okay, be it as it may, these are the two basic shitos in the counting of the Omer. But now I want to bring in, and I had mentioned it in passing, but now I want to explain it, a third opinion of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, Rabbeinu Yerucham is actually a very, very, very interesting Rishon. I'm not sure how familiar you are with him. He's not as well known as Rambam and Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos is not a person, of course, but the school of the Balei Tosfos. But Rabbeinu Yerucham was from France. He was a Talmud of the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher. And Rabbeinu Yerucham wrote, this is pre-Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Yerucham wrote a Codes of Jewish Law with some odd names. The name of his sefer is Toldos Adam V'Chava. And in that sefer, he goes through every aspect of both the laws that apply to men, the laws that apply to women, the laws that apply to family. And Rabbeinu Yerucham was enormously influential because Rav Yosef Karo quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham all the time. So in the Beis Yosef, Rabbeinu Yerucham is mentioned again and again and again. And many rulings in the Shulchan Aruch are based on Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, there is a curious, people cannot explain this. There's a curious note about Rabbeinu Yerucham's Svarim that the Chidah brings. The Chidah, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, a very, very great Sephardic Gadol of the 1700s, who was also a traveler. He was a Meshulach for many Tzedakos in Eretz Yisrael, so he actually traveled, never got to America, but he traveled through Europe and the like. And as a result, he wrote travelogues. He actually wrote diaries of his experience. And he was also a bibliographer. He collected Svarim and he gave us many, many bibliographical details of Svarim. And he records that the Chachmei Yerushalayim enacted that no one is allowed to write a commentary on Rabbeinu Yerucham's work, because although it is a halachic work, it contains the great, great secrets of Kabbalah. And it was even declared that anyone that involves himself with Rabbeinu Yerucham's work will die prematurely. This is a very, very obscure statement. Rabbeinu Yerucham's work is not Kabbalistic. It is a halachic work. And it's not clear why there would be some type of curse connected to republishing or revising or commentating on Rabbeinu Yerucham. Some say it was a simple issue that there were so many mistakes in the manuscripts that the Chachamim felt that it's better not even to learn the work because it's likely that you would be reading various mistakes. You know, who knows? Someone who was not so afraid of these curses recently republished Rabbeinu Yerucham and corrected the version. So now you can get a corrected version. But be it as it may, putting all of this aside, Rabbeinu Yerucham has an interesting shita in which he says that the counting of the days of the Omer remain d'oraisa, just like the Rambam says, but the counting of the weeks of the Omer is only midrabana zecher lemikdash. Now again, a little background on this. We know that in the counting of the Omer, there's a mitzvah to count days, and there's a mitzvah to count weeks. So for example, on day 14 of the Omer, we said, Hayom Arba'a Asor Yom, that's the number of days, Shehem Shnei Shavuot, that are 2 weeks. There's a mitzvah to count days, and there's a mitzvah to count weeks. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, when there's a Beis HaMikdash and a Korban HaOmer, days and weeks are both min HaTorah. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, the counting of the days remains min HaTorah. But the counting of the weeks is only midrabana. Now, this is very enigmatic because mimanafshach, either way you look at it, you're going to have a problem with this opinion. Because if the Omer depends on if the counting of the Omer depends on the korban of the Omer, then even the days should be midrabana, like Tosfos. And if the counting of the Omer does not depend on the Korban Omer, then even the weeks should be d'oraisa, like the Rambam. Where do you get a basis to differentiate between days and weeks, which is the unusual, unique shita of Rabbeinu Yerucha? Now, I think I had mentioned a few weeks ago that this may be the explanation of a nusach in Eidut HaMizrach as to where they put the word Beomer, either Baomer or Lo, that's a separate issue. I'm going to go with Baomer just to be just for convenience. For example, let's take day 14. Hayom Shnei Hayom Arba Asar Yom Shehem Shnei Shavuos Baomer. Today is the 14th day. That is 2 weeks in the Omer. So we put the word Ba'omer, La'omer, whatever you say, we put it at the end of the days and the weeks. And 90% of the Siddurim do it that way. Ashkenazim, Sephardim. But in the Eidut HaMizrach, they do it this way. Hayom Arba Asar Yom Ba'omer. This is the 14th day of the Omer, Shehem Shnei Shavuot, that is 2 weeks. So you'll notice that in the Eidut HaMizrach, the word Ba'omer is not delayed until the end of the sentence, but the word Ba'omer is put after the days, after you've declared the days, but before you counted the weeks. What is the basis for that distinction? Why don't you put Ba'omer at the end of the sentence after you mention both days and weeks? So it occurred to me, although I don't have a source for this, that perhaps this is a remez to the Shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham that days are da'oraisa bizman hazeh, and weeks are only midrabanan. So to give a greater chashivas, a greater status to the part of your counting that is a Torah counting, when you say the number of days, which is your Torah obligation, you say Ba'omer in the counting of the Omer, and then as an afterthought, as it were, you say that is 2 weeks. So it could be that the nusach of the Eidut HaMizrach is miyusad, is based on Rabbeinu Yerucham's opinion. But be it as it may, we still need to understand what is the svara of Rabbeinu Yerucham's opinion. So here is what some achrayim say. Let's look at the pasuk in Parshas Emor that is the makor of Sviras HaOmer. We read it 2 weeks ago. Usvartem lachem mimacharas haShabbos. You should start counting mimacharas haShabbos from the day after Pesach. Remember, Shabbos in that verse means the Yom Tov of Pesach, you know, the Tetzvah of Nisan. So you start counting the day after. Miyom haviyachem es Omer hatnufa. From the day that you bring the barley offering, that's called the Omer, Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tehiyena, 7 complete weeks. There is then in that pasuk an esnachta. An esnachta is the equivalent of a semicolon that divides a pasuk into 2 clauses. Right? So again, clause 1 is, you should count from the day that you bring the Omer, 7 weeks. After the semicolon, it says, ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviyas, until the 7 weeks, tisperu chamishim yom, you shall count 50 days. So linguistically, Rabbeinu Yerucham says, the connection of the counting to the bringing of the Omer only applies to the first part of the verse, which is talking about weeks, Sheva Shabbosais Tamimos Tiyena. But the second part of the pasuk just says, Tisvaru Chamishim Yom. You shall count 50 days. Actually, it means you should count up to 50 days. Count 49 and then observe a holiday on the 50th. So Rabbeinu Yerucham says, it is only the Shavuos, the weeks, that are linked to the Hakravas HaOmer, because the Tisbaru Chamishim Yom is after the Esnachta. It is after a semicolon. And therefore, it is not connected to the antecedent statement, Miyom Haviyachem Es Omer HaTenufa. So linguistically, therefore, we could see a difference that the Sheva Shabbosais Timimos Tiyena, which is the mitzvah to count weeks, is linked to Miyom Haviyachem Es Omer HaTenufa. But the Tisru Chamishim Yom is not linked to Miyom HaViyachem Es Omer HaTenufa. It would be a standalone mitzvah that does not depend on the Korban HaOmer. So this gives us what you might call a linguistic support for Rabbeinu Yerucham, but it does not give a logical basis. Okay, you could see it from the language of the verse, that perhaps there might be a difference between days and weeks. But just because there is a difference in the pasuk doesn't explain the logical basis of that distinction. So here we need to supplement the textual source with a very interesting explanation of the Or Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk. And here's what the Or Sameach says. Essentially, the Torah requires that we count from Pesach to Shavuos the period of time leading up to Matan Torah. And the explanation, as has been said many times already, is that the Torah wants to link the holiday of freedom with the holiday of commitment and Torah, and almost make it one long holiday, almost as if Shavuos is the last day of Pesach, because it is only Matan Torah that gives meaning to the holiday of freedom. That is why, for example, the Korban HaOmer is barley, which is Michael Behema, that is fed to animals. The Korban of Shavuos is the Shtei HaLechem, that is wheat eaten by humans, because freedom without Torah is just animal liberation. Now, the logical basis of counting in weeks and counting in days is because you count up to Shavuos based on the units of the holiday itself. Count up to Shavuos in the units of the holiday of Shavuos. Now, here is the interesting point. Shavuos Bizman HaMikdash has a bifurcated nature. It is both a one-day holiday and it is also a seven-day holiday. It is a one-day holiday because the Yom Tov of Shavuos is only one day. Again, Chutz La'aretz is 2 days, but because of Safek D'Yayma, but it is a one-day holiday. But it's also a seven-day holiday for the following reason. For all of the Shalosh Regalim, whether it's Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, every male, this is not a chiyuv on women, every male is mechuyav to be Eilo Regal, to come to Yerushalayim, and to make an appearance in the Beis HaMikdash, to come to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and bring with him a korban ola, a burnt offering, that is called olas re'iyah. Right, this is the famous pasuk. Shalosh pa'amim bashana, 3 times a year, yeira'e kol zechorcha, all of your males shall come and see, be seen by Hashem. And then it says, and you don't come rekem, do not come empty-handed. This is empty-handed. This is called an olas re'iyah. Okay, Pesach, Shavuos Sukkos. Optimally, one brings the olas re'iyah on the first day of Yom Tov. But the halacha is that if you didn't bring it on the first day of Yom Tov, you can bring it for the next 6 days, except on Shabbos. So that's true for Pesach. Pesach, you have 7 days to bring, excluding Shabbos, you have 7 days to bring the Olas Re'iyah. Sukkos, we are a little more generous because we allow Shemini Atzeres to be a makeup for Sukkos, even though it's a separate holiday. So you have 8 days to bring the Olas Re'iyah, again, excluding Shabbos. Now, what about Shavuos, though? Logically, you would think Shavuos would have no makeup at all because Bishlama, the other regalim, the holiday continues. So I could bring the Olas Re'iyah for the duration of the holiday. But Shavuos does not have a duration of the holiday. Shavuos is only a one-day holiday. And yet, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the same way you have 7 days to bring the Olas Re'iyah for Pesach, you have 7 days to bring the Olas Re'iyah for Shavuos. In other words, you have another 6 days, Shavuos, and another 6 days, except for Shabbos. And the Gemara even asks, why don't you have 8 days? Why do you compare Shavuos to Pesach? Compare Shavuos to Sukkos and get 8 days? So the Gemara says, Tafasta meruba lai tafasta. If we're not sure if we should compare it to the lesser number of days or the greater number of days, the only thing we're guaranteed is the lesser number, because you know the lesser number is right. You don't know about the greater number, right? This is called tafasta meruba. When you try to grab on to too much, you might not be able to grab on to anything at all. So the bottom line is that although Shavuos is a one-day holiday, in one respect, it is actually a seven-day holiday because the Olas Re'iyah can be brought for up to 6 days after Shavuos. By the way, that fact is an explanation of a widespread minhag in Yerushalayim and in Chutz Laaretz as well, where Tachanun is not recited for a whole week after Shavuos. Now, there's no particular reason for that. No, Isru Chag, okay, the day after a Yom Tov, you don't say Tachanun, but there would be no reason for a whole week. But the answer is that the whole week, meaning 6 days following Shavuos, has a certain festive aspect to it because it was the period of time in which you were permitted to bring the Olas Re'iyah if you didn't bring it earlier. So therefore, it has the holiness. Now, there is a machlokes how you calculate that in Chutz La'aretz, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, it's very simple, right? Shavuos, let's say this year is Monday, okay? So Monday is day one. You have six more days that you don't say Tachanun. The question is, in Chutz La'aretz, if you have such a minhag, do you have second day of Yom Tov plus 6 days? Or second day of Yom Tov and only 5 days? Because that gives you your 6 days from the first day of Yom Tov. Okay, so that's a machlokas. How do you compute these 6 days in Chutz La'aretz? But the point I want to make is simply this. This is the Orson Mach's point, that Shavuos has a bifurcated nature. It is a one-day chag with respect to the Yom Tov, and it is a seven-day chag with respect to the Olas Re'iyah. And Rav Meir Simcha says, this is why Sviras HaOmer is bifurcated into days and into weeks, because you're counting toward Shavuos in the units of the Chag itself. The Chag is a one-day Chag, therefore I count days, and the Chag is a seven-day Chag, and therefore I count weeks. Ah, so now Rav Meir Simcha says, based on this explanation, Rabbeinu Yerucham makes such perfect sense, actually. Because Rabbeinu Yerucham says, the double nature of Shavuos is only true when there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, so Shavuos is a one-day Chag in terms of Yom Tov, and Shavuos is a seven-day Chag in terms of Olas Re'iyah. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no Olas Re'iyah, yeah, there's the minhag of Tachanun, that's only a minhag, then Shavuos doesn't have a seven-day nature. Shavuos only has a one-day nature. So Memela, the counting of the Omer that has to mimic the units of the holiday of Shavuos, the counting of the weeks drops out, because Shavuos is not a one-week holiday when there's no Beis HaMikdash. And the only thing that remains is the counting of the days. So that's a very, very interesting svara, that Bizman HaMikdash, we look at Shavuos as both a one-day and a seven-day holiday, a one-day and a week. Masha Einken, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you only look at it as a one-day holiday. You do not look at it as a one-week holiday. And the Sviras HaOmer units have to mimic the nature of the holiday to which you are counting. So this would be the hesber of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, I want to mention another point that commonly is misunderstood. And that is the following. Whether it's the Araisa, whether it's the Rabbanan, whether one is the Araisa or one Rabbanan, that doesn't make a difference for this. What is the mitzvah of counting weeks? So the truth of the matter is, the mitzvah of counting weeks is not the way we do it. For example, today is day 44 of the Omer. So how did we count it last night? We said, Hayom Arba'av Arba'im Yom. This is 44 days. Shehem Shisha Shavuot. That is 6 weeks. Ushnei Yamim. And 2 days to the Omer. In other words, we actually count the weeks every single day, starting from day 7 onwards. And that's how people think is the mitzvah of counting the weeks. In reality, that is not so. The actual chiyuv of counting weeks is only upon the conclusion of a week. At the end of every week, you're supposed to announce the weeks. That would mean the following. On day 7, you say, Hayom Shiva Yamim Shem Shavua Echad. On day 8, however, you would not say, Hayom Shimona Yamim Shehem Shavua Echad V'Yom Echad. You wouldn't count the weeks at all. In other words, you only count the weeks, day 7, day 14, day 21, day 28, day 35, day 42, day 49. In other words, you don't mention the weeks in the middle of the weeks. You only mention the weeks at the end of every week. So there's a mitzvah to count each day, and there's a mitzvah to count the weeks as each week is completed. It became a later minhag. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. It became a later minhag that we mentioned the weeks every single night. But the ikar chiyuv of counting the weeks is only at the end of each week. Based on this, there's a beautiful maisa, a little bit of a humorous maisa, that they say about the Beis HaLevi. But to understand the Beis HaLevi, I need to go over a well-known halacha. It's a halacha that you probably know, but let me go over it a little bit. That is, what is the halacha if a person misses one of the countings of the Omer? He misses a day of the Omer, so is he allowed to resume his count? So let me explain this. There's really two machloksim rishonim about counting the Omer. Machlokus number one is, if you skip a day, do you forfeit the count? Because after all, since the Torah uses the word Sheva Shabbosais Tamimais, that you have to count 7 complete weeks, there is an argument that can be made that there's one mitzvah to count 7 complete weeks, 49 days. And if you miss a day, you have forfeited the counting of the Omer. Because even if you continue to count afterwards, if your counting is not going to be tamimais, you're not yaitzei the mitzvah. So there's a machlokas. Some Rishonim say that skipping a day totally, is a forfeiture of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and you actually wouldn't even count. Other Rishonim say that the very fact that you make a bracha every single day, as opposed to one bracha at the beginning, suggests that these are 49 separate mitzvahs. And even if I missed one day, I'm allowed to continue counting with a bracha. That's what those Rishonim would say. So that's machlokas number one. Machlokas number two, which is not connected, is whether if I didn't count at night a particular day, can I be yaitzei with my svira in the daytime? Let's say, for example, I did not count the night of the 44th day. I did not count the Omer last night. Can I count it today and even make a bracha? After all, it's still day 44. So some Rishonim say a Svira can even be Bayom. And some Rishonim say that Tamimais requires that you count when the day begins, which is the night before, and a Svira Bayom is not a valid Svira. Again, these are two separate arguments. Argument number one is, if I missed a day entirely, can I continue to count new days? That's machlokas number one. Machlokas number two is, if I missed counting the day at night, can I count the day? Can I count the proper day in the daytime? That's machlokas number two. Now, as a general rule, whenever we are in doubt whether you're chayav to do a mitzvah or not chayav to do a mitzvah, the general rule is we will be machmir to do the mitzvah, but we will also tell you not to make a bracha, because if you're not chayav in the mitzvah, it would be a bracha of atala. This is the well-known principle in halacha that says, safek brachos lahakel. Whenever we are in doubt whether you're supposed to make a bracha or not supposed to make a bracha, we are makel and we tell you not to make the bracha. In other words, do the mitzvah, but don't make the bracha on the mitzvah. So, on each of these two machloksim, we treat it as a suffix. Therefore, if I skipped a whole day of Sfira and I want to resume my count, I skipped the whole day and I want to resume my count, L'chumra, we tell you, keep on counting. because maybe the halacha is like the opinion that you have to count even if you forfeit a day. But when you continue counting, do not make a bracha, because maybe the halacha is like the opinion that you don't make, that you're not chayav to count, and therefore it's a bracha levatala, and suffek brachas lahakel. So that's the bottom line. That's very, very clear. That if a person skips a whole day of Sfira, he must continue the count, but he cannot make a bracha. Optimally, if he can hear the bracha from the chazan or a friend who could be motzi him, that would be good. That would be perfect. But if he's stuck by himself and nobody else is making the bracha, he will not be allowed to make the bracha, because safek brachos lahakel. Similarly, on the other machlokas, if I didn't count last night and I am in doubt, should I count in the daytime? We will vadai say, count in the day, because maybe the halacha is a svira in the day is a valid svira. But you won't make the bracha, because maybe the halacha is that a svira in the day is not a valid svira, and it would be a bracha levatala. So we say, safek brachos lahakel. So the bottom line is, in each of these situations taken separately, you will not make a bracha. You will not make a bracha if I skipped a whole day and I want to resume counting. I count without a bracha, or I hear it from the chazan. And hu hadin, if I didn't count last night and I want to count today, I count without a bracha. Okay, so those two things are clear. But now there's a third thing that you need to know. And again, I'm sure many of you know this. And that is, if I didn't count last night and I count today without a bracha, when I resume my count tonight, I'm even allowed to make a bracha. Now, why would that be? So here, let me bring in a principle in halacha that is known as sfeik sfeika. Sfeik sfeika means a double doubt. It's true that when there is a doubt, do you make a bracha or don't you make a bracha? The halacha is you don't make a bracha. But when something is a double doubt, you'll see from the example what this means, then b'chi ay gavna, you will make a bracha. So here's the thing. What's the scenario? The scenario is, I didn't count last night. I did not count the 44th day at night. I remember this morning that I didn't count. So I'm supposed to count. I'm supposed to say, Hayom arba'av arba'im yom, shem shisha shavuos, u'shnei yamim ba'omer. I'm supposed to count today without a bracha. But if I count today without a bracha, tonight, when I count night 45 or day 45, I can even make a bracha. Why is that? Because we have a double doubt. And here's what the double doubt is. First of all, maybe even if you skipped a day, it is possible that you can make a bracha. And even if you're going to be strict and say, if you skipped a day, you couldn't make a bracha, maybe counting in the day means you didn't skip. So each thing alone is a suffix. Meaning, I can't make a bracha in the day because maybe counting in the day is not good. And I can't make a bracha at night if I skipped a day, because maybe if I skipped a day, it's not good. So each thing standing alone is a suffix. And because it's a suffek, you can't make a bracha. True. But when the two doubts combine, I have a doubt on top of a doubt. That is called sveik sveika. In other words, you see how it's a double doubt? Because like this, if I counted today in the daytime without a bracha, and I want to resume my count tonight, I have a double doubt that would permit it. First of all, maybe the halacha is, even if I skipped legamrei, I could count. I mean, there are positions that say that. And number two, even if you're machmir on skipping legamrei, maybe counting during the day would be a valid counting. And even though that's also a doubt, but when you have a double layer doubt, sveik, sveika, then the chances are much more that you're able to make a bracha. And again, I hope I'm not being too confusing here, but the bottom line is, even though safek brachos lahakel, when you have a sveik sveika that will enable you to make a bracha, you can make a bracha. So the bottom line is the halacha that, again, I think most people are familiar with. This is one of the halachos that are always reviewed every year. That is, if you skipped a svira at night, count the correct svira in the day without a bracha, and then resume the svira with the bracha for the remaining nights. I mean, that halacha is well known. I'm just adding that the longest of that halacha is that it's a getter of a sveik sveika that overrides the principle of safek brachos lahakya. Okay, so that's kind of a lot of background to a very funny, although interesting, story with the Beis HaLevi. And that is, when the Beis HaLevi became the Rav of Brisk, and you know, sometimes we misunderstand exactly, you know, we think about Europe before the war and in the 19th century, certainly, and we think about it as a golden age where everybody was from, everybody was learning, everybody was a big Talmud Chacham. And indeed, in some ways, it was a golden age. But remember, there were a lot of irreligious forces working within Klal Yisrael. The reform movement in Lithuania and Poland was not very significant. That was mainly Germany and Hungary. But you had the Maskilim, you had secular Zionism, you had communism, socialism, various revolutionary movements, etc. So there were many, especially in big cities. The shtetls were largely from, the little villages were mainly from. But if you talk about the big cities like Vilna, like Brisk, like Kovna, these are great, great cities in Jewish history, but they were filled with many, many non-religious and even anti-religious elements. Right? A city like Vilna, on one hand, Vilna was a great city of Torah. It was called Yerushalayim of Lita, the Yerushalayim of Lita. Some people call Baltimore is the Yerushalayim of America, some people like to say, but okay, those are the people who are from Baltimore. But be it as it may, there were plenty of maskilim in Vilna and plenty of even anti-Torah elements. So when the Beis HaLevi became Rav of Brisk, the maskilim were not very happy with the Beis HaLevi because they wanted a progressive Rav, they wanted a modern Rav, they wanted a Rav that would understand the need for reforms and the need to be more lenient and flexible in halacha. So they wanted a meeting with the Beis HaLevi. They wanted to say, you know, you're too old-fashioned, you're not progressive, you don't live with the times. And the Beis HaLevi said, what do you mean? I understand the need for leniencies. I understand the need for flexibility. I understand the need to accommodate the Torah to changing times. And the Maskilim were very, very, very happy and excited that maybe they found a Rav to their liking. And they asked the Beis HaLevi, can you give us some of your leniencies? So this is a leniency that he said. Again, it didn't satisfy them at all because it was a leniency within the technicalities of halacha. And the leniency is the following. The halacha is clear that if you missed the counting, if you missed a whole day of the counting of the Omer, you can no longer count with a bracha. That is clear for the reasons that we said. If I simply didn't count day 44, either at night or in the day, I missed the whole day. It's a chisaron of tamimais. And if it's at least misafek at least. And misafek, I count, but I don't make a bracha unless I hear it from the chazan, because safek brachos lahakel. So says the Beis Halevi, this is his chiddush, a very interesting chiddush. Since there are two different mitzvos, a mitzvah to count weeks and a mitzvah to count days, the Beis Halevi says, even if your count is not complete on the days, your count may still be complete on the weeks. So let's imagine this case. Remember that the mitzvah of counting weeks is not every day. It's only at the end of each week. 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. Let's imagine I skipped day 20. Now, because I skipped day 20, I can no longer count the days with a bracha, because I will not have a complete counting of 49 days. But says the Beis Halevi, even if I'm unable to have a complete counting of days, I can still have a complete counting of weeks, because I didn't lose any of the counting of the weeks on those critical days, 7, 14, 21, etc. Therefore, the Beis Halevi is Machadesh, a very, very interesting finish, that if I skipped day 20, I can still make a bracha on day 21, because it's 3 weeks, day 28, day 35, day 42, and day 49, even though I can't make a bracha on the intervening days, because the Beis Halevi says you could still be tamimot on weeks, even if you're not tamimot on days. Masha'enkein, if I missed a day 7 or a day 14 or a day 21, since that is a combination of a day and a week, I lose everything. So the Beis Halevi says, you see how makel I am. All the poskim say, if you miss a day, you can no longer make a bracha. But on Mechadesh, you can still make a bracha on the weeks, day 7, 14, 21, 28, etc. So you see, I'm a makel. again, the maskilim were not that happy with it. That was not the type of leniency that they were looking for. But the Beis Halevi actually said, that's the Meiser recorded, that this was the leniency he wanted to bring down. This is a very, very fascinating, interesting chiddush. I just have to say, la halacha, we do not follow the Beis Halevi, and we basically go with the idea that if you skip a day, you have forfeited making a bracha on anything, including the weeks as well. And the only time you can resume with a bracha is when you did count the skipped day, but you counted it in the daytime. So when you count it in the daytime, you don't make a bracha, but then you can resume the count with a bracha. Now, let me mention, it is not so nogea this year anymore because we're really towards the end of Sfira. But let me mention, as you know, when the Torah requires counting the days between Pesach and Shavuos, there is nothing in that counting that is sadness. These are supposed to be days of joy, days of happiness. We are looking forward to Matan Torah. The mourning of Svira, the Avelus of Svira, came much, much later. It is not from the Torah at all. And it commemorates a number of sad events, among them the deaths of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. And again, in my more inspirational shiur, which is not, well, we talked about Avas Yisrael and the idea of kavod for each other and the like. And there were other things that happened later as well. many of the Crusades involved massacres during the months of Iyar and the beginning of Sivan. So as a result, these were times of great, great, particularly Christian persecution. In fact, that is why you actually find that Svardim are a little more lenient in the laws of Avelis during Sfira, because a lot of the tragic events of this period occurred in Christian Europe, and the Muslim countries were not so affected. Now, we also know, I just want to mention one interesting psak of Rav Moshe. We also know that people have different minhagim of Sfira. Some people start the Avelis from the second day of Pesach, the beginning, and they go up to Lag BaOmer, and after Lag BaOmer, it's Mutar Lagamrei, because they've had their 33 days, or 32 days plus part of the 33rd day. Others start Rosh Chodesh Iyar with Lag BaOmer as a hiatus, but they continue until 3 days before Shavuos. Others start after Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is 2 days, and they will go until Erev Shavuos. So the three basic minhagim, there are actually more variations of this, but the three basic minhagim that you normally encounter is second day of Pesach up to Lag BaOmer, and nothing is usher after Lag BaOmer. Second minhag is Rosh Chodesh Iyar until 3 days before Shavuos, and with Lag BaOmer as a break. And third minhag is after Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Erev Shavuos with Lag BaOmer as a break. Now, the question people always have is, let's say my minhag is I go until Lag BaOmer, but I'm invited to a chasna right after Pesach, or I'm invited to a chasna on Rosh Chodesh, or vice versa. Let's say I start Rosh Chodesh and I go until 3 days before Shavuos, and I'm invited to a chasna after Lag BaOmer. Am I allowed to go to a chasna if it is during the mourning period of my Svira, even though it's permissible for the chasna and the kallah? Now, what I want to share with you is this. The way most people conceptualize the question is, can I change my minhag from year to year? Can I basically say, if I'm invited to a pre-Rosh Chodesh wedding after Pesach, can I say, this year I'll start, you know, after Rosh Chodesh? And people ask the Shaila, can you switch back and forth? Or are you stuck to a given minhag? And that is an interesting shaila, and that is discussed. But Rav Moshe Feinstein has a wonderful tshuva, where he says the whole question is mistaken. Let me explain why. Rav Moshe says there is no iser to go to a wedding during Sfira. There is no iser. The iser is to get married during Sfira. The iser is the making of the chasna, not the going of the chasna. So Rav Moshe says, you don't have to change your minhag. If the chasan and the kala are allowed to get married, because for them, this is not their minhag of sfira, you are allowed to go without changing your minhag, because there is no iser for you to go to a wedding. Now, the only thing is, okay, there's no iser for me to go to a wedding. But what about listening to music? And what about dancing? Even then, the truth of the matter is, mi'ikar adin, it's not so clear that listening to music is usher during sfira, but even if you say it is, l'tzorich mitzvah, it's going to be mutter. So I'm allowed to go to a wedding, l'tzorich mitzvah. And Rav Moshe even says, you're allowed to shave and get a haircut, l'chavad d'chasna. The point of Rav Moshe's tshuva is a very interesting chiddush, that you don't have to analyze this in terms of changing mitzvos. It is simply a matter of, it's not usher for you. You're in this avelus of svira, but unlike avelus for a parent, see, this is very important. if God forbid a person is an avel for a parent, there is an iser to attend a simcha, and then you need heterim, family doing work. That's a separate discussion. But don't confuse the avelus of svira with the avelus over a parent. The avelus over a parent has an iser to go to a simcha unless you have heterim. And again, there are many heterim. But svira, Rav Meisher says, it was never usher to go to the simcha. It was only usher to get married. Therefore, Rav Meisher says, if the chasna is mutter, you're allowed to go. And you can even listen to the music and get a shave or a haircut. Again, very, very interesting. I do want to point out that many, many Paiskim disagree with Rav Meisher. And many Paiskim do understand that the avelus of Sphira is similar to the avelus over a parent, where you're not allowed to go to a wedding. And then you would indeed have to analyze this. We don't have time to go by Richas. Am I allowed to change my minug from year to year? And again, in many cases, you are allowed to. But Rav Meisher's chiddush is, you don't have to change your minug at all, because bichlal, there is no iser. Okay, we will stop here. I want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. We should all be safe and healthy, and we should be zeicha to be mekabel the Torah of Hashem, ki ish echad uvelev echad, as one person, one heart, with unity and achdus in Avas Yisrael. And may our Kabbalah Satera be l'ratzayn. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu get much nachas from our Kabbalah Satera.
So, amen.
Shavua Tov and Chag Sameach.